Hey everybody, Memorial Day weekend, appropriate to have the legacy pastor bring a message today. And honestly, I'm so delighted to be able to talk with you about this because I know there are times as you wrestle with God that there are just things that seem like they're holding you back that you can't break free from. Jacob had his memorials, and Jason will talk more with you about that at a later time. But there were just times in Jacob's life where the moment was so pregnant with meaning, the moment was so full of purpose that he just had to, you know, sort of drive a stake in the ground when he used the pillow for a stone the night that he had that dream about the presence of God. He took that stone and he stood it up and he said, this is going to be a place of remembrance. There was another time when Jacob, after he had that sojourn with Laban, and his life had been changed. He had his precious family, and God had blessed them so much and poured out his blessing. But it was time to go home. But there was a bad memory there. There were bad memories of being taken advantage of, being hurt, being taken for granted, being assumed upon. And as he was leaving, there was this really hard encounter with his father-in-law where they stood up a stone. And they said, this stone will be a remembrance. We'll let this stone keep watch between you and me while we're absent from one another. And if you ever come past this stone, I promise to you, I will never pass this stone to come and hurt you. And I promise I will never do that in return. There are some remembrances that we stand up so that we can remember to never go there again. Can I get an amen on that? Do you know what I'm talking about? The times when you want to just say, look, I'm never going to go past this far, no further ever again. There are different kinds of memorials to erect. And Jacob, he's got these memorials. I want to ask you some questions that we're going to come back to in just a few minutes at the end. But for one, do you ever find yourself with any memories that you fight to forget? I bet you do. Any memories that honestly kind of sneak up on you, catch you by surprise, catch you off guard? Memories that you hope nobody else ever finds out about. Are there any memories that you long to linger in? I bet there are. Times when time stood still. Times when God showed up for you in ways that you couldn't have even asked for because you couldn't imagine life being that good. What if you could choose? What if you could choose which memories you hold on to? What if you could choose which memories you live in? It's Memorial Day weekend. What if you could choose? Well, I say you can. I say you can. Jacob, some of his memories blessed him. Some of his memories troubled him and triggered him. And some of his memories inspired him. Same for you and me. Let me read you about one of those. It's in Genesis chapter 33. It says this: Jacob looked up, and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. Jason told you this story. Years before, Jacob had left in a hurry because he had deceived his brother. He had pulled the wool over his eyes, literally and figuratively, over his father. And he left on bad terms. And after all these years, after all the ways that God had shown up, any time that Jacob would remember his brother or remember his father, he couldn't help but remember how he had left things. He's kind of triggered by this memory, so much so, Jason told you about it, that when he was going back and he knew he would have to face his brother, he tried to hedge his bets. He tried to send gifts on ahead just to soften his brother's heart, just to sweeten the pot, hoping that maybe, just maybe, there could be a welcome on the other side. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, and he was coming, but he wasn't coming alone. He was coming with 400 armed men. And Jacob, I can't help but imagine Jacob was triggered. I can't help but think that Jacob thought, here we go, it's on. He saw him coming with 400 men, so he made his way. But let me give you verse 4. It says, But Esau, back up a second, he went ahead and he bowed down to the ground, Jacob did, 7 times as he approached his brother. And Esau, Jacob's afraid of what's about to happen, but it says Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and threw his arms around his neck and he kissed him and they both wept. Sometimes the memories that get triggered are not actually what come about, but it doesn't really matter because remembering can be a battle. Remembering can be a battle. I want to read you something out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 because it talks about how we can maybe, just maybe, how we can choose what memories we live into, what memories we hold on to. In Genesis, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "For though we live in this world, we don't wage war as the world does." Which ought to tell you something about the world we live in. It's a world at war, and there's an enemy of your soul. And sometimes those memories that pop up in your mind, sometimes those memories that seem to grip you and grab you and ambush you, sometimes those are not from you. Sometimes that's the accuser of the brethren using your experiences against you. And Paul says the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. I was praying with a young lady just this morning about tearing down some things that are going on in her life right now so that the enemy doesn't use those as places to build strongholds. Instead, Lord, level the ground and build a strong tower. There's a place where scripture says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to him and they are saved. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish those strongholds, to demolish arguments and every pretension. Check this out, that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Because that's what you want to have rule the day in your heart and in your mind. You want to have the knowledge of God be the place that you run for refuge and safety. And it says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. There are involuntary memories and there are chosen memories. The involuntary memories are the memories that cause Jacob to fear what his brother might say, to fear what his brother might do. There are involuntary memories that sometimes you can't quiet. They trigger you, and they could come through anything. They could come through a song. They could come through a sight. They could come through a day on the calendar that asks you to remember. They're intrusive. They catch you off guard. They catch you by surprise. They're unwelcome. And they feel like they're uncontrolled. But there are also precious ones. You don't have to be a victim of those memories because you can choose. The chosen memories can be different. In fact, where it says in Isaiah, it says Isaiah 26:3, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." But the way I memorized it when I was a kid, "You will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on you, who has decided ahead of time to keep my mind focused on God, on Jesus and what he has done, on the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. You will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." But you may ask, "Rusty, I don't know how to do that, man. I would love to do that. I would love to be able to banish unwelcome memories. I would love to be able to dwell on and hold on to those precious memories that Jesus has brought into my life. I just don't know exactly how to do that." Let me give it to you directly from the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, where he says this. He says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things." But you have to make a conscious choice. You have to intentionally say, "Lord, in Jesus' name, could I put that memory down? And could I take this memory up?" There's a prayer I've been using lately with some friends who keep getting ambushed who keep getting triggered, who keep finding themselves reliving old patterns or staying stuck in old places. Let me invite you into this prayer. Let me just tell you what it is, and then I want to pray it over you. So the first thing I always want to invite people to pray, thank you so much. The first thing that I always want to invite people to pray is, God, what do you want to say to this memory? Whatever this memory is, what do you want to say to me while I'm in the midst of this memory? God, would you frame it? Would you be the one to speak into this memory, whatever it is that you have in mind to say in this memory? And I don't know, maybe God would say something like, what I want to say to you when you're stuck in this memory is, you're not there anymore. You were there, but you're not there anymore. You're here now. So you don't have to be victimized by that memory. God, what do you want to say in this memory? Maybe God would say something about, you need to make things right. You need to make restoration with that person. Or maybe, which, by the way, that's important for you to agree with God. Or maybe God would say, that person's never going to say they're sorry, but you're going to have to let yourself off that hook. You're going to have to decide that the price I paid on the cross was more than enough to pay for what you suffered at their hands. I don't know. God, what do you want to say to me when I'm stuck in this memory? What do you want to say to me? And then you just listen. You just listen. And then the next question is this. God, what do you want me to see in this memory? God, what do you when I'm stuck in this memory? When I'm stuck in this triggered place, God, what do you want me to see? And maybe God wants to say something like, I was there with you. You were not alone. God, what do you want me to see? I want you to see that I was there. I want you to see that I was with you. I want you to see that I carried you through that. I want you to see that you survived that. I want you to, what do you want me to see? What do you want to say? What do you want me to see? And then this question I've just got written down here in my Bible. God, what do you want me to do when I'm stuck in this memory? What do you want me to do? Maybe God would say, I want you to get up and go take a walk. Maybe God would say, I want you to look into the eyes of your children. God, what do you want me to do when I find myself stuck here? I don't know. You should listen for God. God, what do you want to say? And then this one, God, how do you want me to live differently? Having invited you into this memory, God, how do you want me to go forward differently so that I don't keep finding myself here? Could we pray that together for just a minute? Just bow your heads and close your eyes. And let me just invite, because maybe something has already popped up in your head. I can see in some of your eyes that maybe some memory has already popped up in your head of things that you get stuck in. Things that keep coming up, things that keep ambushing you at the least opportune moments. And Lord, maybe you just ask, God, what do you want to say to me about that? What do you want to say to me about that? And then just listen for a minute. I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice, but something might just pop into your mind. Something might present itself. And then you can say, Lord, is that you? Maybe you'll say, yeah, that's me. I just want to say to you in that memory that you're not stuck there anymore. You're not there anymore. Yes, that was true. But that's not the end of your story. Maybe that's what, who knows? God, what do you want to say to me about that? What do you want to say to me about that? God, what do you want me to see? What do you want me to see? And I don't know, maybe God says something like, you don't have to keep being victimized by this. What do you want me to see? Maybe he wants you to see that some of the poor decisions you've made have grown out of that memory. And if you could get free of that memory, maybe you could get free of those poor decisions, even addictions. Lord, what do you want me to see? Lord, What do you want me to do? We'll talk about it more in a few minutes, but memories almost always call for action one way or another. Some memories call for apologies. Some memories call for forgiveness. God, what do you want me to do? Maybe God just wants you to live free. Maybe God just wants to say to you, I just want you to be free. I just want you to be free. I just want you to be free. Well, you know, remembering well, it shifts our focus. If you could get free of it, remembering well instead of remembering poorly, remembering well the chosen memories instead of the accidental memories or the ambush memories. Remembering well shifts your focus. If you've been stuck or you keep getting stuck at the same place, choosing what to remember instead, it can shift your focus. It can raise your awareness, you know, because sometimes you get so myopic on what happened. You get so myopic on the problem. All you can see is that old memory. But God says, no, lift your eyes. There's a place in Scripture. Lift your eyes to the hills. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord. So you raise your awareness. You cultivate hope instead of the hopelessness that you found yourself stuck in. And it just broadens your... What could happen, Lord? What does this make possible? What is it that the seeds that were sown in my life, what would it look like if I harvested that crop for what you have next in mind for me? Remembering well has all kinds of great benefits, but here are some tests for you of the memories that you find yourself getting stuck in. So question number one, does dwelling on this memory, whatever it is, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's an abuse, maybe it's a decision you made, maybe it's who knows what. You've got yours, I've got mine. Does dwelling on this memory deepen my gratitude? Or does dwelling on this memory rob me of all the good things that God has done in my life since then? Does dwelling on this memory deepen my hope? Or does it leave me stuck in a hopeless place? Does dwelling on this memory deepen my commitment to God, my commitment to the things that matter in my life? Or do you find yourself like Paul did at that one place where he said, I don't understand what I want to do, I'm not doing. What I don't want to do, that's what I keep. Does it deepen my commitment or does it rob me of my intentionality? Does dwelling on this memory deepen my love for others? And I'm not just talking about the generic love of others, you know, you let somebody in front of you in traffic. I'm talking about the people that you love. Does it deepen my love for the people that I really love? Or does it so distract me from the people that I love that I can't actually live in the moment with them? Does it deepen my love for God? Or does it leave me always wondering, God, if you really are there, why did this happen? God, if you really love me, how could you? And here's what I believe. I believe that you get to choose the memories that you want to strangle until they just die. There are some things God said to remember. There are some things God said to remember. God said to remember how you provoked me in the wilderness. You may say, well, that's a weird one. No, it's not. Remember how you provoked me. Remember where you messed up before. Remember what it was that got you off track and out of place. Remember how your relationship with the Father, remember what fractured it in the past. Why? So that you don't go there. It's the old joke, right? Doc, I broke my leg in three places. Doctor says, stay out of those places, right? You remember how you provoked him in the wilderness so that you never go there again. Amen? The things that you just say, I'm going to put a wall around this. I'm never going there. I'm going to use these weapons of our warfare to demolish that stronghold because I never want to go there again. You remember how you provoked me in the wilderness. Remember that I'm with you always, Jesus says. You know, the Great Commission, the prime directive. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. I'm with you always. Because this is not the end of your story. That was not the end of your story. And you are not alone. I want you to remember that I'm with you always, even to the end. He says, I want you to remember your first love. I want you to remember your first love. I want you to remember what it was like when you first came to know me. Man, we could go around the room. We could tell stories, couldn't we? Of the ways God showed up in your life when it was new, when it was fresh. When it seemed like you could pray and God would hear you, it seemed like God was walking with you day by day. It seemed like God was holding me by my right hand and leading me to glory. The trouble is, when you live too long in the presence of miracles, you forget that they're miracles. He says, I want you to remember what it was like at first. I want you to remember how you used to love me. How you used to let me love you. And I want you to return and repent and do the things you did at first. There are things you need to remember about God. You need to remember who God is. You need to remember who God is, that he's good and that he loves you and he lives in you. You need to remember that about God. When those memories ambush you out of nowhere and cause you to question who God is, and you get to say, no. No, it's not God if you're God, that would not have happened. God, because you are God, I lived through it. God, because you are God, you've brought me here. You got to remember who God is. You got to remember what God has done. God has done for you what no one else, what you couldn't do for yourself, what no one else could do for you. He did it in sending his son. It says, those who were far away have been brought near in Christ Jesus. You were strangers and aliens, and those who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Remember what God has done. Remember what he promised. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You invite that into that old memory, and you see what happens. Because remember is a verb, y'all. Remembering is not a passive thing. Remember is something that just happens to you. You may be triggered. You may be triggered and you may feel like you have no agency or no power over it. That's not true. That's not true. Remember is a verb and it calls for action. Some memories call for worship. And when Bryce leads us in an invitation here in just a little while, it may be that God puts it on your heart. God, what do you want me to do? God may say, I want you to take that to the altar and leave it, and I want you to thank me for getting you through it. Some memories call for worship. Some memories, the only thing that makes sense to do with them, when they do come up, the only thing that makes sense is to say, God, I thank you that I'm not there anymore. And some memories call for worship. Some memories call for apologies. They do. God may put something on your heart, even today. And you may have this burning conviction in your heart, you know, I need to go home and make a phone call. I need to go home and make a phone call. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, if I call that person, they might not even remember. But maybe they've been victimized by the memory same way you have. And maybe when they see your name come up on their caller ID, they get triggered. I don't know. But some memories call for apologies. And if you need to make apologies, you need to make them. You need to make them. You may say, yeah, but Rusty, they owe me an apology too. So what? So what? They owe me an apology too, and they'll probably never give me an apology. So what? Maybe you've got to take the first step. Maybe it's been on their heart too. Maybe the person that owes you an apology is dead, in which case, you really need to let go of that. You really need to let yourself off that hook. They're not going to let you off the hook. They can't. They're gone. But maybe you need to make a conscious decision to say, Jesus, the price that you paid on the cross was more than enough for the harm that I suffered at the hands of my accusers. And though they never asked for it, God, I want to be done with this memory. Some memories call for apologies. Some memories call for forgiveness. But almost all memories call for action of one kind or another. So I want to invite you. I want to invite you right now, in this moment, to just go with me here. Go with me. Are there any memories that you fight to forget? It's Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend, we think about the memories that are red, white, and blue, the memories that are, but maybe the memories are dogging you. Are there any memories that you fight to forget? And if so, maybe today is a day to at least begin the journey of freedom. You might need help. And we'll pray with you, you know. But again, it's beginning the journey of freedom. Are there any memories that you long to linger in? Is there anything you wish you could get back, you know? Remember the height from which you've fallen. Is there anything you wish you could get back? We'll pray with you. And again, it's the beginning of a journey. It's not that, you know, a switch gets flipped and all of a sudden you're all better. That's not what I'm promising. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that you can choose. You can choose which memories that you hold on to and which memories you allow to hold on to you. So would you stand and let me pray over you? While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, precious ones, forgive me if it feels like I've dealt flippantly with your pain. I don't mean to do that at all. All I mean is to tell you, you don't have to be a victim anymore. Forgive me if it feels like I'm cheapening what you've endured. All I'm actually trying to say is that a price has been paid for your freedom. A high price has been paid for your freedom. Maybe today is the day for you, having known about Jesus for a long time. Maybe today is the day for you, like it was for some friends of mine the other day, to just say, you know what? I just want to acknowledge that I really do believe in Jesus. I've heard about Jesus. I've known about Jesus. I want to acknowledge now publicly before that I believe. And that I'm asking you to come into my heart. I'm confessing my sin and I'm asking you to come into my heart and come into my life. Maybe today is a day for you to finally find that freedom in Jesus. Jason would pray with you. Jackie would. I would. We've got oil. Maybe today is a day for you to come and worship God for the things that you've survived and the things that you've been set free from. However God leads you, precious ones, it's Memorial Day weekend. And this is not a time to just go through the motions. It's not a time to get stuck in bad memories. It's a time to move forward with Jesus.